Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about what to expect from the divine service at the gathering and how to connect to the life of the church back home.
Our next few episodes on the podcast are going to focus on some key aspects of the upcoming LCMS Youth Gathering in New Orleans, because that's pretty much all Mark and I can think about anymore. But at least now, from now until maybe August.
Yes.
And maybe in September, we'll hit you with something different. But today we're going to talk about an aspect of the gathering that is often a highlight. It's a highlight for me and a highlight for many others in the gathering experience. And that is the worship service.
Absolutely. We're so blessed to gather around God's word and sacrament. Boy, I think it's, far as I know, been at every gathering in some aspects. It's been on different days. Maybe it's been done in smaller venues and other times, but we are blessed to gather as God's people. I think one of the things the highlight is always for me is the musicians. And so we get to see young people sing their praises to God up front and lead, but then also just to hear the audience sing the hymns and the liturgy and all that kind of stuff. And it's just such a great bonding and community connection to see that. And now we kind of end the event with it. And so it's a great way to kind of have this ending time gathered around as God's people, which is just a beautiful thing.
It is a moment that is unique.
Yeah, right.
I think in the life of young people, especially because it only happens every 3 years. Mm-hmm. That for those of us that get a chance to do it every 3 years, it is a gift, right? Because for many people, being able to participate in the divine service with that many individuals is something that may only happen once or twice in their entire lifetime. So it's a great joy. So we thought we'd bring in a friend. Joining us today is Reverend Sean Denzer, as serves as the director of LCMS Worship and the chaplain here at our LCMS International Center. He previously served for 7 years as a pastor of a dual parish in rural North Dakota. So at least we're a little warmer than that.
Oh, it's so much better. I'm a weather wimp already.
He holds a bachelor's of music in Oregon from Hope College in Holland, Michigan, and his MDiv from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He and his wife, Audrey, have 4 children. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Great to be here.
Fantastic. All right, so we get to hear a little bit about you in the intro, but we always love to ask the question, tell us more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
Sure. In the parish, so I grew up in Lutheran schools until I went to college. Not too far away. It was still a small Christian college, but not Lutheran. And it definitely actually made me appreciate what we had as Lutherans. And I dug into kind of some of our things a lot more than I ever had as a kid. So that was really helpful. I was really pleased after seminary to go out into the parish. I'm from Metro Detroit originally. So, you know, big Lutheran territory, right. You know, suburbs and city nearby. And we went to North Dakota. I lived in a town of 40 people. Yeah. So our family was like a good tenth of the current, of the whole town pretty quick. And very small places, very rural farming. I didn't know anything about farming. But I threw myself in and got to know people. One of the, you know, as a pastor, you're the only worker at the church. I didn't even have a secretary and felt like you did everything, of course. But I always felt like I really was in youth ministry because guaranteed, you know, maybe I get to see the old folks in the nursing home once a month in addition. But I got to see these kids every single week. And we had one confirmation class in particular they were all great singers, these young girls. But we just formed a choir and they ended up singing the rest of the time. We did really great stuff, maybe simple for small groups, but we talked all the time. And that is what, I mean, youth ministers, teachers, pastors are doing behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the adults would always say, you know, hey, you're not doing anything for the kids. And I would just, you know, listen to their concern. But like, I spent more time, of course, with the high school age people probably than anyone else. And it's such a pleasure, right, to be able to hear what their concerns are, to be somebody who becomes trusted to them. Mm-hmm. But above all, to be a trusted voice, to know they're hearing comforting words from the scriptures, from Jesus Christ, and encouraging them to, like you said, to live in this faith all the way through their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great. You got that chance to invest in the lives of young people as a pastor in many other ways, too. Maybe tell us a little bit about your years at that time, junior, senior high year. Maybe what was an impactful person or moment or thing that helped you stay connected to the church or to Jesus through all that?
Sure. I mean, I was the son of a Lutheran school teachers, multi-generational Lutheran school teachers. So I suppose I took it all for granted in some ways. But there were so many people who were working on me. I remember, just so ironically, I was one of those cool kids who didn't want to sing. That might be impossible for
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah, I was too cool for that. Once I got to a certain age, and shame on me for that. But, you know, I think it was my senior year of high school, and I was like, well, I think I'm going to go into church music, so I probably should join the choir, right, maybe? But it was during that time that people were really encouraging to me, nevertheless, despite how, I don't know, young and twerpy I was. But especially that was the time that somebody had first said, maybe you should be a pastor. Mm. And I blew that guy off. Mr. Leinenberger, I blew him off. But he knew what he was suggesting. And I guess I should give him credit because by God's grace and his encouragement, actually, that's exactly where I ended up.
Cool. That's great.
That's fantastic. All right. So you have a really interesting job, right? So you are, I'm going to read it off again, the director for LCMS Worship, and you're the chaplain. We say the International Center. It's the building where we all work.
They don't like us to say headquarters. But
right, yeah, right, exactly. Right. Well, we also have other people who work in the building. So you're the chaplain for that. But you also are the director of worship for the gathering.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what all do you oversee when it comes to the gathering?
Honestly, a lot of it might be stuff you never see, but that's a good thing. That means somebody planned in advance on how to do this. And I mean, that is the real pleasure of the gathering cycle of my life, is to work with a whole group of volunteers well beyond the youth office who are such good logistical thinkers and really good team workers, right? We almost never get to the point where we're blaming each other. Well, hey, that's not my fault. And almost always doing the best with what we can at the time. So I really enjoy the work in this cycle. And yeah, everything I'm working on is with my team as well, to make sure that we can have those great musicians, the Honors Choir and the Wind Symphony, that are going to be conducted by some of our great professors at our Concordia colleges and universities, that they're going to be leading our worship. I got to rein in all those pastors, people like Matt Harrison, and tell him where to go and when it's his turn to preach and when to, well, I don't get to tell him when to get down, unfortunately. But, you know, just to make sure that this event, this worship service, which is very different, surprisingly, in some ways, from your average congregation. Certainly different than my little congregation in a town of 40. Just to make sure it goes off smoothly as planned, so that nothing gets in the way of hearing the word of God and letting these truths of the scriptures come to us. And maybe one of the most challenging things is just to make sure that you can find a pathway through a rather poorly designed church, the Caesar's Superdome there.
It is not designed for this.
Not what they had in mind,
right? They did not have it in mind, no. But to make sure that everybody can find their way to a station for Holy Communion, that there's a way to both reverently but also efficiently distribute Holy Communion to pretty much 20,000 people, which is, you're right, it is a unique event because it's the biggest gathering of LCMS Lutherans, period, of any kind and of any age, even the biggest gathering of LCMS adults. And it is, and this and many other youth gatherings, you know, it is a chance for maybe one of the people from my congregations up there in North Dakota to see that, wow, I mean, we talk about the communion of saints all the time. We hear that with angels and archangels and, you know, there's a whole brotherhood of Christians around the world, that we are really always joined to Jesus Christ with them at all times, even though we never see it with our eyes. You get a little bit of a glimpse of that, I guess, when we're there together in the dome. And that's pretty, it's pretty powerful. And it, that really is kind of the main theme that's going to come out in our worship service here, the divine service on the last day of the gathering, is building on everything there in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, the great cloud of witnesses that's gathered around us, all of us fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. Well, we'll have a little bit bigger gathering than usual at the gathering worship service.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's one of the things that when we hear the question, like, what is unique and special about the gathering? There's other things that obviously are impactful about the gathering. But I think the thing we hear consistently is like those times of worship or those other times maybe when we get together and start to understand the body of Christ. And again, we're just a small section of the LCMS that's gathering. And yet to get a picture of that, to see people from across not only our country, but across the world that are coming together, gathered around for, again, a time like worship. And I think that's one of the things you touched on. I want to maybe, you do this like for the convention too and other large scale events. Why, when we do these things, these events, why is it important for us to have something like the divine service as part of it? Like we could easily just say like, no, we're just going to do a teaching time. We're going to do something. Why do we take the time? Why do we think that through to say, no, this is what we're going to do when we're going to gather in a situation like, even though it is maybe difficult, there's some logistic things we got to think through, but it's worth it. to do it? What, as you've had to work with the gathering on this side, what might, how you answer that question?
Yeah. I mean, Luther has this thing, he says Christians should never get together to do anything unless they're going to hear preaching of the word of God. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a nice idea from Luther. Even better is probably what we observe in the early church, right? Mm-hmm. In Acts 2:42, right?
Mm-hmm, right?
Right after Pentecost, obviously a pretty big day for the church, but we see that the church is gathered, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. the fellowship, mm-hmm. to the breaking of the bread, yep. which probably means the Holy Communion, mm-hmm. and to the prayers, right? That we're all gathered together around this. And when we think, I mean, the term gathering is beloved to us and to you guys, because this is what we always call this big event. But really, that's what the word church means too, mm-hmm. right? It is a gathering. And the question is, who's doing the gathering and for what purpose? And we understand that it is the Lord, by his word, by the Holy Spirit, gathered around Christ Jesus. In fact, even though we might have thought we went to all sorts of lengths to get to New Orleans or wherever we're going next time, we know that the Lord is, in fact, mm-hmm. gathering mm-hmm. us around mm-hmm. him. And so I think it would be strange to celebrate the church, to celebrate the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, without gathering around the thing that actually does bind us mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't all look the same. We don't come from the same part of America. We're not just coming from Missouri. Some mm-hmm. people learn for the first time. But the thing that really does unite us is what we have in common, the communion, the unity we have in the body of Christ, in the teaching of Jesus. And so, I mean, as much as possible, this is what is such a great joy then to see what is really true, as we said, behind the scenes. If we were to pull back the eternal curtain, we would see that we are not isolated in North Dakota or mm-hmm. Missouri or California, mm-hmm. but in fact, we are joined through Christ to all the Christians, I mean, throughout history, and those yet to come, and right. those who are awaiting the resurrection already. So it is a delightful thing to have a better glimpse of that with our eyes, even though we know it's entirely true. And I hope everyone is able to take that home with them and mm-hmm. recognize when you hear that on Sunday, right, that with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, or when we hear, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, we really are talking about our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. all over the world, mm-hmm. all over our country. And at last we have at least the start of an idea in our minds of what that looked like. Yeah.
Well, and for our young people today who often might be in situations where they might feel like they're the only Christian, mm-hmm. right? Where in their group of friends, they might be the only person that's spending Sunday at church, right? For them to have that glimpse can be incredibly powerful mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. encouraging to them to say, I'm not on my own when it comes to this, that I have this communion of believers that Christ has brought together for us.
Psalm 73 says this, right? When the psalmist is about ready to give up, because he's the only one, and it seems like the wicked are winning. He says, if I was going to talk like that, I'd be dumb like an animal, and I would offend against the whole generation of God's children. He's talking about the fact that there are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ all around the world. Mm-hmm. I can't give up on them either. Yeah. And so I think it is not a small thing to be bound together and to recognize our fellowship that we have with our fellow Christians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for those who may be listening who haven't been to a gathering before, what should they expect when it comes to coming into worship in some things like the Superdome?
Yeah, it's going to look a little different. You're going to see lots of things like signs for a lot of beer that you know, probably don't show up at your church. It is a stadium first and foremost. Mm-hmm. In fact, in Caesar's, we got the big picture of Caesar, mm-hmm. kind of ironic up top. Mm-hmm. And we're working with the church that we've been given here. But I think you'll see lots of things that point us to that. So we're going to have a cloud of witnesses that you'll be able to see, mm-hmm. not just the people, but even some of the banners that are showing mm-hmm. up. We will have a cross, small, but you'll sure be able to see it on the screen. And we'll have on the stage, it will be changed in its appearance from what it had been the previous days, to do our best to have the altar, the pulpit, those who are preaching as the center of our attention so that Christ and his words can be the center of our attention. The atmosphere is a little different, of course. Mm-hmm. We're coming into the presence of God and his word. We want that to be our focus. And so, yeah, the atmosphere will be a little different. It may be familiar to you at your church. It may be different beyond just the fact that the number of people in the congregation is different. Mm-hmm. But some of the songs might not be as familiar to you. But we hope that for many it is. We'll be using setting a divine service that's common to the LCMS out of its hymnals. Mm-hmm. One of the big things that's different is we have the resources, by which we mean really all of the attendees here, to have a fantastic choir mm-hmm. to help bolster our singing. it might be surprising to you, but sometimes 20,000 people don't sound as loud as a smaller congregation because it's a bigger room.
Right.
So having a choir to help back that up really helps us be able to hear the singing that is going on in the stands, which you can hear your neighbors singing. And a wind symphony. Man, you know, when movies put soundtracks on, they almost always get the whole symphony orchestra. And I suppose if your little church in North Dakota can afford a symphony orchestra, we all would every Sunday, but that's a little out of most of our ranges. Thankfully, we have such great talent in the Missouri Synod. We can pull so many wonderful young people together so we can have exactly that to accompany our worship. And so we will, along with the house band will help us out during communion as well. So lots of people leading the singing. Our service is just like we heard from Acts 2:42, right? We're going to devote ourselves to the Word of God, to the teaching of the prophets in the Old Testament. We'll hear about Daniel. We'll hear our theme verse from Hebrews, the wonderful comments about the gathering of the full cloud of witnesses around Christ Jesus as we're all looking to the author and perfecter of our faith, how he has endured the cross for our salvation, and how we then are renewed with hope and strength to endure our crosses until the end when finally he takes us to himself. We'll hear encouraging words from Jesus' own mouth in the gospel, the same words he gave to his various disciples as he was going to the cross. We'll have a chance to confess with all 20,000 people here, you know, the creeds, to lift up our hearts to the Lord and his words, and then to hear the words of institution sung very clearly, and then have the opportunity to rejoice and praise our God as he gives his forgiveness to us there. And I mean, what an amazing thing that also the president of our synod is going to be present. Mm-hmm. He cares about everybody who's here. The fact that he would take this time to preach the word of God to us. And what an encouraging message, right? Don't give up. Mm-hmm. Boy, he's been through a lot in his life as a pastor, as a past missionary, now as president of the synod. Mm-hmm. He's got kids and grandkids actually not too far away from the age of the people who will be in attendance.
Right.
And so to give us as leader of our church a message of endurance and hope in Christ Jesus is beautiful. And yeah, I can't think of anything more important or more excellent to kind of put a capstone on the whole week, which has been fantastic, and everything we've learned, all the ways we've served a city and other people in need, and the rich ways in which we've grown.
That's great. One of the things I want to highlight, you touched on it, I know it's always a highlight for me, is a little bit about this preparation with the choir and wind symphony. So you are going to be running rehearsals Sunday, Monday, Tuesday during the gathering, right? So these young people are giving up kind of the 4 o'clock session time a little bit, going to shuttle over. They'll rehearse at the Superdome 3 days, then, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
And one early
morning. And then one early
morning,
right, up early. So keep, I mean, truly, do keep them in prayer too. Like, they got an important part of this worship. They're giving up a lot of time. I mean, just even the logistics of Wednesday morning getting there, the instruments and all that kind of stuff. So just, again, thanks for all your investment in that too, is that, like, there's a lot of parts that go into that too to lead us. So I know not everyone has probably someone in the choir, wind symphony in the group, so sometimes maybe they don't know those things are happening. But definitely keep our musicians in prayer with all that work that's happening, which is great. And thanks for all those extra leadership parts, because it is fun. It is really a joy to watch
thanks for
them
our
come
team.
Together.
We have so many helpful people, including some students from our Concordia universities who are helping to kind of lead and be section leaders to make it as both a great musically learning experience, but obviously the beautiful way that we can use our talents to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us in songs and music as well.
So we got groups that are prepping to come this summer. What are some maybe ways that you might be thinking that an adult leader or a pastor who's working with their young people right now could be preparing for the divine service come the gathering?
Sure. If your congregation makes use of divine service setting one from Lutheran service book, that's the service setting we'll be using. So if you're familiar with that, that's a great way to get ready. If you're familiar with it, it'll help you be able to lead and sing also from the congregation there in the not quite pews, in the stands. Maybe one hymn that might not be so familiar to everybody is our closing hymn, which we have a fantastic new setting composed by one of our professors at Concordia University of Nebraska, by Jeffrey Blersch. But it's Lutheran Service Book Hymn 667, Saints See the Cloud of Witnesses.
Perfect.
It's entirely based on our theme text, Hebrews 11 and 12.
So it's not one that I would be able to hum for you right now.
On the other hand, we're singing for all the saints as well. So that's one way is to know those services or maybe even to prepare some of those hymns. Mm-hmm. And I believe we also even have a playlist that people can listen along to and hear them. The other one is just simply to be sure that youth group leaders, as well as their youth, are talking about Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody who comes to the gathering has been confirmed. They've been admitted to the Lord's Supper at their congregations. But it's helpful, A, to remember the reason why we come, the gifts that the Lord has for us, the benefits of receiving Holy Communion in this fellowship of those who share a common faith and common confession of it, and to see such a great group of it at this event. But maybe also just to be prepared for the reality that, boy, you've never received communion before in a football stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so give us some details around what that might look like.
Sure. First of all, we thank everybody for their patience because, as we mentioned, it's not designed for that. And to commune 20,000 people is maybe a little bit more of a project. I hate to call it that because it's something so precious to us, a gift from God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it takes a little bit of effort and planning. And thankfully, mm-hmm. we've done that. We hope to be able to receive the Lord's body and blood in a reverent way, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also in an efficient way. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take forever. We'll have many stations in various places throughout. Our planners have done a good job of planning the routes that people will take out of their seats to a communion station to receive the sacrament and then back to their seats as well. So being patient with ushers is really helpful. Mm-hmm. The hard part is we're the last thing of the whole gathering, mm-hmm. so everybody else is just as exhausted as you will be, I assure you. Mm-hmm. So thanks for that.
Yeah, and we're blessed to have some amazing pastors who are in attendance at the gathering to help distribute that mm-hmm. communion mm-hmm. so we have enough stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And what's that process?
We, if we haven't already, we'll be sending out very soon an invitation to pastors to just, are you willing to help mm-hmm. serve communion? The pastor will assemble a team of four or five others who will assist him, usually from your congregation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they fill in from other congregations mm-hmm. also. And if you think your pastor would be interested in helping to serve communion, get him by the ear and suggest it to him. And we'll have a nice forum up on the youth website for that too.
And then you mentioned that most of these young people are confirmed. They commune in their congregations typically, but we do have some that will bring friends who maybe aren't Lutheran, or maybe you have a rising ninth grader that's not finished confirmation mm-hmm. yet, something like that. What do you suggest for them in terms of planning and letting them know what to expect?
Sure. We in the forums, when people signed up, the pastors also had a chance to make a comment on whether these attendees were members in good standing of the LCMS, those who had been admitted to the sacrament, that they might also be admitted to the sacrament there. Some will be guests, as you mentioned, who maybe have been here to learn about Christ, to experience this all week, to be a part of this worship service as well, to pray and to sing praises to God and to hear his word, but perhaps not to receive communion. The reason for this is we just are honest, as St. Paul writes in especially chapters 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians, right? This is the bread that we break is a unity in the body of Christ. And when we commune, we proclaim his death until his come. We make a common confession. It is called Holy Communion, which is that we are united in a common understanding and confession of Jesus' teaching. And God granted that all Christians would be entirely united in that teaching. We know, of course, that on this side of glory, we are not always united. And rather than lose integrity and speak falsely, we think it's important, as St. Paul directs, to speak honestly, perhaps sometimes to abide divisions, even as we look to the Lord's word, to try and overcome them until such time as we have that agreement. So, those who maybe are not having communion don't have to disappear or leave the stadium during the service. What they can do is come up, and probably the best way and easiest way is to maybe put your arms across your chest, kind of like you're giving yourself a hug or laying your hands on your shoulders. That's one of the best ways to just indicate, I'm here. I'm not going to be receiving Holy Communion today, but I am interested in having the Lord's blessing in his word. Normally, pastors will give a blessing to such a person, and that's one way. Others might choose to remain in the pews, and that's fine as well. Nobody will be in trouble or judged for this. Mm-hmm. We're really glad to have everyone there. And for those who are members of the Lutheran Church, this is a delightful time to have our fellowship visibly enlarged, even though truly we're joined to Christ Jesus every time at our congregations as well, no matter how small, how big. The Lord's gifts are given out in his word, wherever his word is preached.
So, Sean, I recently was a visitor at a church. Luckily, I was sitting in the back, so I had enough time to kind of watch people in front of me, how the practice was, how you go up to the rail. how the dismissal goes. So I had a little bit of time, but the gathering can be a little unique. You're in the, you know, you may not know where you're going immediately, that type of thing. So maybe like walk us through that process about like what should groups be ready for when they're being dismissed up to receive the sacrament and going through that process.
Great question. And yeah, I always do the exact same thing. There's nothing strange about that at all. We'll have stations. They'll be very close. They're all marked with a big banner and with even a little high top table. And there'll be a team. There'll be at least one pastor should be wearing a clerical collar, so they'll be identifiable. They'll have the body of Christ. Somebody with them will have the blood of Christ in a cup. We'll also have somebody else to assist them as they're distributing. Everybody's going to walk up there. Won't be any kneeling or sitting down or anything. It would just be kind of a line that progresses through. Ushers will be present to kind of give you a little direction. And the more you can follow their instructions and follow the line ahead of you, that'll make it very simple. Everybody can receive the bread. Putting out your hands is often probably the easiest way. Just to, they'll put the body of Christ in your hands and you can eat it. We are pleased again to have communion vessels that are created by Concordia University, Nebraska's Center for Liturgical Arts. They've done many sets of communion ware for the gathering before, nothing new here, but it's always a unique design and always a pleasure to see great, beautiful artwork there for our service. Now, that may also be something that is new to people, is to receive the Lord's blood from a single cup. This is something actually the gathering has always done from the beginning. So it's, again, nothing new for the gathering, but maybe new for people individually. The way to receive it is simply the pastor or the assistant will hold up the cup. It can be helpful if you will help guide it to your mouth. Do that by touching the foot of the cup rather than putting your hands where other people's mouths are going. They always will wipe the cup in between people, which is helpful for cleanliness. Of course, nothing in this world is risk-free. You know, some people may be concerned about that, about germs and other things. We could give many studies and comments to help reassure people. But in some ways, maybe the most helpful thing to say is Christians certainly do not die at a higher rate than anyone else. And what the Lord gives here is, in fact, what leads to eternal life. And so his promises are always for our good. And that's the reason we come to the Lord's Supper. That's the reason we risk a lot more than just perhaps some kind of sickness, even though the likelihood of that is actually quite low. So again, don't touch the rim if you can avoid it for cleanliness sake. Helping guide it to your mouth and opening your mouth before you tip it is always very helpful. Those who, for whatever reason, don't wish to receive the Lord's Supper again should not be afraid of that. You may either remain in your seat, or as I mentioned, if you were to make kind of a X across your chest, putting your arms on your hands on your shoulders and your arms crossing your chest, that's a helpful way to indicate that you're not going to receive the sacrament, but also that maybe the pastor might give you a blessing. One other thing is that some people have, for whatever reason, a need to try to avoid gluten or alcohol. We do have separate stations that are separate from the others in order to help keep that separation. For those who are looking to avoid gluten or avoid alcohol, those will be announced on the screens. So watch that for a place to go. If you're one of those people who needs that, you are invited to just break out of your line and go straight to the station and the place where you need to go and receive the sacrament there.
Great, very helpful. Well, connecting with that is that, like we said, the youth gathering worship service is maybe a unique time in the life of a young person to be with that large of a group, communing, singing the liturgy, being connecting with Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. And at the same time, the divine service is a unique part of the gathering too, in that way. How do you see the connection for, you know, young people go through that experience and then go back home? How can a divine service, that's something like a youth gathering, be one of these things that encourages them to be in that Christian community back home regularly, hearing God's word preached, receiving the sacrament, and making those connections? How do you see those kind of interplay with each other?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say there's no congregations with 20,000 people on a Sunday usually in the LCMS. I also don't think there are many that have a full wind symphony
as
well as a band and others, you know, in the speakers with screens the size of the Superdome in their congregation. And all of that is overwhelming. It's exciting. And yeah, I admit, you come home from that and you're like, well, my congregation, no matter how big it is, is fairly small and just a little bit softer. And maybe that can be discouraging to us. I think the message of this year in particular, looking at Hebrews 11 mm-hmm. and 12, mm-hmm. looking at this great cloud of witnesses, thinking the fact that the cloud of witnesses is not just those who are here in one building at a time, mm-hmm. not just those who are here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or even as Christians around the whole world, we're talking about all the way back to Adam, to mm-hmm. Eve, to Abraham, to the saints of old, as well as into the future to our children that aren't even born yet. The Lord's communion of saints is always present in him, right? That's the point, is that we're joined to him, and by being joined to Christ Jesus, we're joined to one another. So that really does mean, I think this can be a great learning experience mm-hmm. for one to realize what you see here mm-hmm. as a taste of it is actually what is truly present in our churches, right? The Lord's gifts are given to us, you know, whether it's with a billion people, whether it's even just you all by yourself in a hospital room. Mm-hmm. I mean, think mm-hmm. of all those mm-hmm. people who are receiving the Lord's Supper, the ministry of their congregation, maybe all alone, shut in their house or in a nursing home or something. Those people are receiving the very same word of God, the same gifts. They're joined to you. It's incredibly encouraging to them to hear that there are young people back right. at church on Sunday who are praying for them.
Yeah.
It's incredibly encouraging maybe for you to realize that the whole rest of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is praying for the youth who are there at the gathering. That's actually a group that dwarfs even the people there in the stadium. And I think it's delightful when people can find that what we're saying, what we're believing, what we're praying there together in this big event, this once-in-a-lifetime maybe mm-hmm. event, is the same, is connected to mm-hmm. what we're praying and singing and saying mm-hmm. every Sunday in our church, in our particular places. To remember that, you know, what joins us together is actually much bigger than an event mm-hmm. Or a church body even. Mm-hmm. It's Christ Jesus and his gifts. Mm-hmm. It's his word, right? And this is the Lord who created the world, who by his blood redeemed the world, and it is by his Holy Spirit active in his word that he is joining that very same giant, monstrous group together and sanctifying them.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
I know.
I don't know. Sean's quite ready yet. He's still got a little planning left to do.
Talk to me about halfway through, right? You know?
Right? No. Sean, thank you for that perspective. I really do. I love that that's going to be a part of the emphasis of what we're going to hear, both in teachings leading up to the divine service and then within it. Right? Because it is sometimes a little hard to come back from something like the gathering to your North Dakota congregation of where your family is a quarter of the of the pew. And so that's what a wonderful reminder that we have that is the same body of Christ, right? Yeah. It is the same.
Amen.
And that we are all a part of that all the time, not just in this unique event. And we're so grateful for you and your team and all your work and helping us put that together so that we can be focused on Jesus, because if no one ever hears what you do, then perhaps we've done it right.
That's right.
I would love that. If you never knew my name and never knew my face, but you received Jesus Christ and came home with that, you have everything.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thanks for all your work, Sean.
You're welcome.
I just so appreciate this perspective and getting to kind of open up and see a little bit of behind the scenes.
Right.
Of what happens as we plan the gathering and of worship in general.
Yeah, I mean, there really are, as Sean was talking about, a lot of moving parts that go into having the divine service at the gathering. We wrestle with what day to have it on sometimes because of the work that's got to get done. And so sometimes that gives us some space to do that because there are a lot of teams that make it possible. Logistics, let alone, like I said, the reverency that takes place and then all the musicians and things that go into it too, to have that time to rehearse it. So again, thankful for all the teams that put their time and energy into it to make that such a unique part and special part of the gathering.
And we know that you're preparing your young people for all sorts of different parts of the gathering, like helping them select sessions mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. making sure that we're doing pre-event Bible studies mm-hmm. and thinking about who they want to go see on the floor and those kinds of things. In the same way, we want you to make sure that you are talking about and preparing them for the divine service right. so that as they walk in, that unique setting as we're in is one where they feel confident in paying attention and being reverent and taking in all that God is giving them on that opportunity. So a couple of questions for you to consider. One, how can you be preparing your group for worship as a part of the LCMS Youth Gathering?
How can you be praying for President Harrison, for all the musicians, for all our leaders, for Sean and his team and all the work that is taking place for the gathering? That is a way that you can be lifting up the worship service as part of your gathering experience.
And finally, how can you be talking to your young people about being regularly in worship every week as they part of Healthy Youth Ministry? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you prepare your young people for the gathering and for the divine service that will happen there.
NGLES Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.